trouble, see, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I am your host, Erica.
And I'm Lucy.
And today's episode we are reviewing is redecorating. Not to be confused with redecorating the Mertz's apartment, if that's the title, right?
I think it is, yeah.
Okay. And this one was filmed, this is season 2, episode 8, November 24th, 1952, directed by William Asher, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh and Bob Carroll Jr., filmed August 15th, 1952. And the premise is Lucy and Ethel are both, I guess, sick of their furniture. And, you know, they go to a home show, enter a contest where the grand prize is 5 rooms of new furniture. But it kind of goes awry because, Ricky tries to be slick about it. And so this one is, the plot is based on Lucy's radio show, My Favorite Husband, number 36, giveaway program, aired March 18th, 1949. And as you'll see throughout all of this, Lucy's pregnant during this time. Lucille Ball.
Yeah, she's 4 months at this point.
They really get creative with the clothes.
They do, with what she's wearing. But about this episode, a teeny bit, like, about the idea behind of it. Basically, Lucy was kind of tired. So I used to, and by used to, I did like twice where I like read the little thing, the trivia from this book. Mm-hmm. So we might see if I bring that back. I was like, look, I have all this information.
What book is
my computer's been sitting on top of? It's the Lucy book, the complete guide to her 5 decades on television. It's by Jeffrey Mark Fiddleman. Mm-hmm. I can post a link in the next. When we do this one, we can put a link to that. But it says for this episode, it says the episode was written because the set had begun to look drab after so many segments being filmed on it. Lucy wanted to spruce up the set. And it might have also been done at the time to take attention away from Ball's rapidly expanding waistline. It says that the scene with Lucy and Ethel repapering was taken from Laurel and Hardy. It says obviously influenced, but I was oblivious to that because I don't know Laurel and Hardy. And then Irma Cusley, this was Lucy's hairstylist. She actually had a little quote for this episode. She said, Lucy didn't want anyone but me touching up her hair during a pregnancy because she knew her hair got a little funky when she was large with Lucy.
Large with Lucy.
Even though I had my own babies at home to take care of, I agreed to come in for a couple of months. I want to know how her hair got funky.
Oh, well,
pregnancy. That's all I want to know.
Does
my hair didn't things. Get funky?
Well, luckily it got longer, and then afterwards it got thinner. So, I think pregnancy, hormones just mess with your hair. And she already had, you know, the henna already in her hair and dyed it a color that wasn't naturally hers. So pregnancy probably just. Just really made that a little crazy. But so we don't find out about her actual pregnancy on the show until like maybe two episodes down the road from
this. Episodes, yeah.
And Lucy is enchanté.
Because we can't say pregnant. but this is the first episode. So Irma Cosley, this is the one that she starts doing Lucy's hair. Mm-hmm. And then she'll continue through her later sitcoms. But anyways, shall we start the episode?
We shall. So this is, you know, not a concept lost on any Lucy viewers. There's a lot of furniture related episodes, you know, where we're decorating, moving, wanting to buy new ones. And I guess it's like you mentioned, she was tired of the way the set looked, Lucy. So she wanted to freshen up, which is kind of, you know, a good idea for this episode as well. And it was also a way for CBS and Philip Morris to ensure that Lucy and Ricky weren't sleeping in a single bed in episodes close to the beginning of the pregnancy storyline, which I love. It's just maybe, you know, baby was just dropped, immaculate conception or something, but a stork dropped off the baby. Yeah. So keep an eye on this episode. If you watch it, the loose fitting clothes, you know, just the way when women start to expand their waistline, how they kind of get creative with the overalls and yeah, those really cute overalls anyway. So it starts off with Ricky sleeping. And as we see throughout this, the series, they have certain Look magazine, you know, issues, and some of them have little nuggets of Lucy and Desi inside of them. And so this one was the August 26, 1952 issue he's got on his face.
Yes. And this would have been it probably was out right when they were shooting. Most of them are post-dated, but this one was
like in real
probably
time.
Something they had around set that he just kind of, but I literally Fred comes in and the first thing they start doing is complaining about their wives.
Of course. Of course. He's looking for Ethel because, you know, I guess she wasn't in the apartment, and he wants to know where she's at. And Ricky lets him know they're at the home show.
Have you ever been to a home show?
I was going to ask you that. And the answer is yes. Now, here's the thing. I'm really 90, you know, in trapped in this body. But
yes,
I do enjoy, I don't need anything from home shows. But when they're in town, I just love going to them because you get different decorating ideas. You do that. I will not buy a hot tub. I mean, that's because when you walk inside a home show, they're filled with hot tubs and jacuzzis. And but yeah, they're fun. I think they're fun to go to. Have you been to
one? I've never been to one, but there is one October 28th to 30th, right around the corner from me.
Ooh, yeah. They show you all the different ways you can redo your house, and you just walk around like you're going to do it, but you can't really. You collect flyers and business cards.
You know, I was thinking, it'd be really cool. Maybe they already have this. I didn't look because it just occurred to me before we started recording. So maybe I'll look into it. But I was like, it would be really cool if they had maybe like a museum that was set up as like a 1950s, 1960s home show.
Ooh, with like
that
furniture
was like always
from,
there, right? Furniture, technology.
From that era?
Yeah, a bunch of different things. That but it was a museum, neat. So it stayed open all the time. You know, and you couldn't really buy it, but I think that'd be really cool.
There's got to be something.
There's
got to
be somewhere, but
yeah.
If anyone knows, if I said that and you're like, we have one around us, tell me, because I think that'd be really cool to check out.
Yeah, that would be really, really neat. Just kind of like in the Long Long Trailer when they're walking around the RV show and they have all these different 1950s RVs.
Yes.
Like that. That would be really neat.
So, yeah. So they are at a home show right now. They're Fred and Ricky are talking about how the last time they went to a home show, they couldn't stand the sight of their new furniture, you know.
Oh, their old furniture.
Of their old furniture. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry. Lucy broke into tears and Ethel, you know, couldn't stop. I don't know.
Looking they couldn't at, bear the sight of their.
Yes, exactly. And so Fred calls them the Sobsey twins.
Mm-hmm.
Edward Stratemer wrote the first book of the series in 1904, but his pen name, he wrote under a pseudonym of Laura Lee Hope. It was their books that follow two fraternal sets of twins, Bert and Nan, who were 12 years old for most of them, and then Flossie and Freddie, who were 6 years old for most of them. And they started out kind of like as books about home life and travel and adventure, but then around 1961, they started to focus a little bit more on the mystery aspect, mm-hmm. kind of like Nancy Drew and stuff. Apparently, there were 72 books published, and they were published from 1904 to 1979, which I think is that you know, there were so many books published. Well, there were ghostwriters that wrote for this. It wasn't this one person writing this whole time. But they do get called the Bobbsey twins a lot, so I thought.
They do. Yeah. Yeah. Throughout the series, they do mention them. Fred's kind of upset that they went to this because, like you mentioned, now they all want new furniture. And Ricky's like, well, they'll forget about all of that because I have tickets to the new Rodgers and Hammerstein show. Mm. Now, he didn't give a name of the play or the show that they were going to watch, just said it's a Rodgers and Hammerstein production, which reminded me of when I think it was the anniversary episode where they want to throw them a surprise anniversary thing, and they end up in the closet with the whole, you know,
yes,
real pretty dress and
they
all
went to
that.
see the circus or something.
No, they said that we're going to a dinner with Rodgers and Hammerstein. And
oh,
they're
yes.
like, Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Yes. What am I talking about? I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's okay.
But there wasn't. They probably didn't say a name because there was no musical
going
no
on at
new
that time.
Play at that time for them to actually, you know, name drop. Fred is like, oh, yeah, that'll keep their minds off. And when he says that, in walk the girls. And they're looking very
disgusted,
unhappy with life, disgusted with their furniture, just hating everything.
Gosh.
I just love how you can leave your apartment or your house being totally content and then go someplace. And then all of a sudden,
you're
just
not
hate
happy with
all
it,
of the junk. Yeah. So they talk about, basically, the boys are ready, right? They're already ready for the girls to want something.
So Lucy's just looks disgusted in what's happening in her living room, the furniture that, you know. And so Ricky's like, okay, well, we'll talk about that later, but I've got these tickets for you, right? And they're like, no, we're not going anywhere. We can't. Well, first they get excited for like half a second, but then they remember that they entered this contest, which I love that the boys end up mocking them, like about their lack of a chance of winning. You know, because he says, you know how many people enter these contests. You have a 1 in a million chance. And they said, I think they each said they did 100 or 1,000.
100,
right?
100.
So our chance is 1 in 10,000. And they're like, well, let's move this furniture then, because it's obviously a sure win. And, you know, so they're like, nope, we're not going anywhere, because you need to be home in order to win.
And of course, all I could think was, if this happened now, no problem.
Yeah, I've got your phone.
It's a cell phone. You can pick up anywhere. The boys are disgruntled, right? I mean, they wanted to go. And the next scene we see is Fred and Ricky in the drugstore.
Now, we didn't mention the prize. It's 5 whole rooms of furniture.
What do they do with it?
That's an amazing amount of furniture.
Right. But also, you know, we're thinking 5 rooms, so I'm guessing at least a guest bedroom, right? Ethel's super sad that she didn't win. I mean, she doesn't like play it off, but like, she's sad that she didn't win. Why didn't they just share it? There's only,
spoiler
in the next episode,
alert,
there's
Lucy.
Only 2. So sorry. I'm sorry. take back everything.
Trust me, everybody has seen everything.
It seems like everyone's seen this. But they could have just shared the prize winnings.
Right.
Next scene, drugstore. The guys are talking about how they're not going to be able to see this play. And I don't know, did we met? It's opening night, so that's a big deal.
Oh, yes. Because they were hard to get.
They're hard to get.
It was odd to see Ricky up that early, because he's usually a nighttime entertainer. And he's never up that early, so he needs to make phone calls. And Lucy is hogging the phone, as is Ethel. So
they're not using it, but they're guarding it.
And so, he said, we have to do something, because, like you said, these tickets were hard to get. So I love that he says, you know, why don't you make a fake phone call? Which reminds me, of course, again, like when they do the fake fire, you know.
When does this ever work?
Never works.
Never works.
And he says, oh, you want me to do it? And Ricky's like, well, I can't, because he's his accent.
He's like, I would love to do it. I would love to help out. And Fred goes, you have an accent? He orders a double chocolate malt.
To kind of build up the nerve.
Build up his nerve to make this phone call. We then see the girls at home.
Right. So it's Lucy sitting on the couch, you know, and she's got her arms crossed staring at it. It's like, don't stare at a pot of water.
It won't
boil or something.
Rings.
A watch phone never rings. And so she's got her arms crossed. She's staring at it, and she's very, you know, you can go and do things and just wait for the phone to ring. I mean, it's really loud and really small apartment.
It's exactly. Like, even if she ran, it would probably, you know, she's in the bedroom, two rings through, you know, it'd been fine. But Ethel comes in, and Lucy's like, why aren't you at your phone? And she goes, I'm here. I have it. And she's got They apparently the extension cords. Listen, she said that he made it so that she could go anywhere in the apartment, which it's a big apartment.
Yeah, it's a big building.
Like, how many extension cords would she have had to use?
Yeah, she
And
had
we
a
find
long
out that
extension cord.
apparently Fred has been taking the extension cords when
Someone moves out.
someone moves out. And at this point, and this is the only time we hear this, I think, we find out that the Ricardos have a party line. Did you do any research on a party line?
Yeah, a little bit. So what they're doing is, so they sit side by side, they each have their phones, and you know they're both impatiently waiting, and so they keep checking to make sure that their phones are working, you know, they've got a tone or something, and they picks up the phone and you hear what they call a party line. Two women are chatting with each other, and party line, it's like a multiple party line, shared service line, or a party wire, and it's a local loop telephone circuit that's shared by multiple telephone service subscribers. And they were widely used to provide telephone service, starting with the first commercial switchboards in 1878. So it's also kind of like a way to save money on making these calls, and so multiple people at once would be. You know, you can listen in on these calls or just speak to multiple people at once. And here in the scene, which I love that it's supposed to be a split screen, but really they're sitting right side by side. It's
Yes.
Florence Hallop on the left and Margie Lizette on the right, are the women that are chatting and gossiping the night away, on this party line.
Yes. Interestingly, I looked up just a little bit more. So there's two-way party lines. There's four-way party lines, which I'm guessing is what she's there using, since there's at least three people. But what, so it says the basic scheme of a party line was that a two-way party line, the phone would ring for its own calls only. Makes sense, right? If the phone was picked up while the other person was using the line, then one could participate in the conversation, but you wouldn't know when the other person's phone was ringing. Then there was the four-way party line. The rings were coded specifically for different callers, so you had to remember your ringed code, like the code
Wow.
for your ring.
Yeah. Like
So
Morse code.
for example, right, the code of your own call could be a single ring. The one for another party could be a double ring. There were also 10 and 8-way party lines. Those were more common in suburban rural areas. And they were usually multi-types coded rings. So you could have like two short rings and a long ring, or kind of like you said, like Morse code. But you could just imagine how complicated and how
Kind
many
of like
mistakes
cross
and things,
connected.
yeah, a 10-way party line or
Yeah.
could have.
Yeah.
But Lucy asks them nicely to get off.
Because they're waiting for a call and they're just gossiping. I mean, they're just gossiping the entire time. And so she wants, of course, them to end the call so they can clear it for the potential win. And I love this clever thing that she does because
Yes.
is that a Bostonian or is it a New York kind of Bronxy accent?
I think it's the second one. I
Okay. So
don't
she,
think that's Boston,
no,
but I could be wrong. I
sorry.
was like, my parents lived in Boston for a few years. I
Didn't
should,
sound like
well, they're not Bostonian, so maybe.
okay.
And I just went to visit, so I didn't live with them very long. So maybe if you guys know, let
I
us know
think it
what
was
exactly
a,
it is.
it sounded like a New York, some sort of borough in New York. I don't know. But s
Pearl.
says the California girl sitting here with no
Yeah,
idea what happens on the East Coast. She says, oh, there goes my doorbell. I have to go, which could be either one of them because they have the same sort of sound and they're like, okay, good. And they end up hanging up on both ends, which is just fabulous. And what I love is that. An unscripted sort of moment is the audience kind of like applauds this, kind of, and I don't think they expected an applause, just kind of like a giggle, but they really appreciated how she pulled that off. So that was kind of neat to listen.
so she got him off the line pretty soon after the phone rings. So they decide they're hungry, right? And they're gonna go get some food. And as soon as that happens, the phone rings. Now, the phones did get switched.
They did, yes.
Yeah, so
Yes, she
that they
puts
could
it
do
down on the
this.
coffee table and
so that they
switch
could
it.
do this stunt where Ethel picks up the one she thinks is hers, but it's really Lucy's. And Lucy's like, no, that's my phone. And she follows the cord back to her wall. I love that. And then follows it back again, which makes Ethel sad. But Lucy finds out, you know, she's won.
I did, I didn't, I did.
It's one of those things again. But she decides without talking to Ricky, or which seems like a really big step, to just get rid of everything in the house.
She's so
Just sell
impulsive.
all the furniture
She's like, I'm
and
getting rid of all of this. And
all the
she's so
junk.
excited that she ends up kicking that coffee table in front of her and breaking the leg off of it. And, you know, Ethel's like, whoa, you know, it's not even here. And you're already, you know, trying to get rid of this and damaging your furniture. So she wants to call a secondhand man to come and pick it up so they can be out of the way before the new furniture arrives. And so they need to, of course, glue back the leg of the table because no one's going to buy it that way. And cut to the secondhand man showing up, and it's played by Hans Conried, and he plays a secondhand furniture man, Dan Jenkins, and he is also Mr. Livermore from the Hires an English, Lucy Hires an English Tutor episode.
Yes.
Was it a tippy tippy toe through my garden? That's gonna be a cut.
There you go. No, keep that in for sure.
And he also was a co-star in The Big Street with Lucille Ball back in the day before I Love Lucy.
His name, Dan Jenkins, is if there's a pretty interesting backstory. I mean, it's not that big of a backstory, but Lucy and Desi were quite close to Dan Jenkins. He was their favorite journalist, a TV guide columnist, and he did end up standing up for Lucy when she was accused of being a communist. I think that's where they became really close, at that point. And the last interview that he did with her was in 1986. During Life with Lucy, who this character is named after. But he comes in and he's very unamused.
Oh, he's very like a skeptic. Even if I assume that even if it was wonderful, gorgeous furniture, he still has to do the
Of
I'm
course.
not interested. It's you're lucky I'm here to even look at your
You're lucky.
furniture.
I'll take this off of your hands
I'll
because
take this.
it's awful. And so he's looking around and he's like, you know what? I will buy everything for $100.
An entire room of furniture.
The whole apartment. Not just the one room, because he said the bedroom as well.
Oh, that's
And
right. Yeah.
yeah. And of course, Ethel and Lucy at this time are trying to be like, it's barely used, it's brand new, you know,
Yeah,
and
so she goes
he.
to kick it or kind of put her foot on it, and of course the
Well,
coffee table.
no, the first thing when he says 100, Lucy goes, oh,
Oh,
look
yeah.
again. And he goes, yeah, you're right, 90.
75 was the last amount that he offered. She gave away all that furniture for
For
$75.
$75.
Oh my
And
gosh.
to be fair, so like, she's probably not thinking of the taxes or anything. So she's like, I want free furniture. And now we're getting $75 for the furniture we had. This is just a win-win in
And
our
so what I'm
book.
gonna do with this is go buy some wallpaper. We're gonna wallpaper that room because what could go
Have
wrong?
you ever wallpapered?
I have tried maybe wrapping a board just for like a background because I, you know, to put like a background for pictures and just wallpapering one of those squares made me want to lose my composure. I can't imagine doing that on an entire wall. No, 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 no.
I'm pretty sure I remember taking down wallpaper,
Oh, I could do
which is,
that.
but that's a big deal too. Like that's messy.
Yeah.
It's not hard, but it's time consuming for sure. But I can't remember. I'm pretty sure I wasn't involved. If they did end up putting wallpaper back up, I don't think I was involved in that because of the fumes and also because children and wallpaper maybe aren't the best. And, you know, Lucy and Ethel, really, what are they if not big children?
Yeah, no business
Yeah,
doing any
no
of
business
this.
doing any of this by themselves. But again, she picks out the wallpaper without talking to Ricky.
Oh yeah, no, she's just redoing the. This
Just
is
their
all
whole
in
apartment.
out within hours. Ricky's over there minding his own business at work. Meanwhile, she's sold the furniture. She's putting
Could
wallpaper
you imagine coming home to that? Just like, oh, okay, I guess this
on.
is my house now.
So their idea of wallpapering is there was no measuring involved in any of this.
It's like, were there
It's
no measuring tapes back then?
oh, I'm sure there was. They
I
just
know there was. I
refuse.
would just.
Oh, they refuse to even acknowledge them. And it's not like one solid color where you could throw it around anywhere. No, they get the
No.
most complicated striped one
Lines,
where
stripes.
any little, deviation from the straight lines will be very obvious, and it's exactly what happens here. And so they're going like crisscross. They're tearing it up because they're going in opposite directions.
They're not communicating well. Ethel ends up wearing a bunch of it, which
Yes.
makes me think what they, of course, this is just me, but just questioning what she actually got on her. Because I would hope that they didn't really spread glue on her face, but who knows?
And so then Mr. Jenkins comes back wanting to pick it up, and she's like, no, not yet, because I've got the furniture's not here yet. Now, all the of this time, we are assuming that Fred is the one who placed this call. So
Right.
it's even more devastating to think that she's doing all of this on a fake call. Like, okay, I'll come back and get it then. So he leaves the salesman, or the secondhand man, and then Ricky comes home at the same
Right
time.
after, yes.
Well, Lucy's in her work clothes, overalls, and all of that. She's like, oh, you came home too soon. I wanted to surprise you with this artistry I've got going on in
I was going to
the
say,
bedroom.
even if everything else had gone to plan and she got the furniture in and everything, you would have been horribly surprised with a
No,
wallpaper.
no.
So,
His whole world's about to fall apart in 2 minutes, and he has no idea. And
yeah.
so he's like, the man has just left. Because he probably crossed paths with him in the hallway. It's a secondhand man. I sold him all the furniture. Meanwhile, his eyes are bulging from the story. And he's like, for $75, you gave away all of this. And he runs out, brings them back. And he's like, there's been a mistake. She's confused, not knowing that he thinks it's a fake call, that everyone's assuming all of this. And he says, let me buy it back. Whatever she gave you. Now, this is where he becomes the salesman.
Right, because he's like,
Not this vintage antiques.
well,
All of
yeah,
a
because she
sudden,
was
they're
like,
antiques.
this is old, don't worry about it. And she's like, yes, I know that these antiques mean a lot to you. Ricky's like, shush, you're saying enough. She was impulsive, she did sell the stuff, but also he, like it was all a hodgepodge of people's faults. He's pretty okay with this. Not okay, but like
He's like,
he's like,
okay, it
listen,
was my fault.
it was my fault. Just tell me what I owe you, since apparently you're gonna. She signed the bill of sale.
Did you sign
What's the
anything?
overhead?
No, just the
No.
bill of sale, which binds her to this.
Right. I didn't write it all down, but I mean, he's talking about transportation, overhead,
Well, he is mentioning,
advertising,
right, that
all
he
these
says,
things
I'm a
that he has to
businessman,
do.
so I need to
Right. And
sell
Lucy's
it.
like, it hasn't even left the apartment yet.
Mm-mm.
You have not moved one thing. He's like, well, I'll keep that into consideration.
And
And he
he's like, I'll
says,
give it all to you for
for
$500.
$500.
Wow.
And he's
He's
like,
like,
absolutely not.
now this is $500 in 1952 money. And so she's,
$5,000
yeah.
for.
So he's like, no, I'm not buying that. Okay, I will get my guys to come pick it up because she signed that bill of sale. And so, okay, fine. I'll go up to $395. So he's mumbling under his breath in Spanish, saying that, it started off as a joke, and now I'm out almost $400 for this. And so it's like you said, he's not exploding like he usually does. because he knows he's at fault of all of this. This is all his idea. He says, well, whatever, let's just get the furniture back in the bedroom and just move on, you know. And she's like, you don't want to go in there.
About that. And she says, Ethel and I haven't finished yet. And he goes, finished mm-hmm. what? And again, he's being really cool. He's like, all right, let's see this. Let's see what you've done. And they go in and all of a sudden he's like wonky. He says it makes him feel sick and that he needs a window open for some fresh air.
This is one of my favorite scenes. This is just the best because he says, and there's no windows in their bedroom.
He's like, how do you paper over a window?
I don't know. Let me find Ethel. Where is Ethel? And she's like yelling for Ethel. And then what I love is she comes and rips the door open from the closet door.
Yeah, because Ethel's just like, what?
Wallpapered over the closet door. And so he says, an awful thing happened. I didn't win any of the furniture. Now, Ethel has no idea what's happening. You know, Lucy's now aware because Ricky told her this is all a joke. This is not real. Let's just cut our losses and move on. Ethel has no idea. She's wallpapered into a closet, so she has no idea what's happening. And then Fred comes in, and what I love is he looks dizzy.
He does, yes.
But prior to that, did you see that little goof
where you see Fred before
in the background?
He's waiting for his cue.
For his cue,
because he does come in quite soon afterwards. And then he like ducks down. But yes, I did see that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so Lucy's about to tell Ethel like the sad news. At that point,
Fred tells him that Fred
comes
out.
In and said, "Yeah," he says, "Listen, I wasn't able to make the call because, you know, Ricky was like, listen, you can just tell her about the call. She already knows." And that's when Ricky's like, listen, that's what Fred is like, that's what I came to tell you. I couldn't do it. And so Lucy, of course, she's like, that means I won.
And she's like, I won. Yay, to Ethel. And Ethel's like, excited.
She's like, I thought you already won.
I knew you did.
Yeah, we knew this already. How gutted must Ricky now feel?
It's a lot. I mean,
because he just sold that, and you know that there's no way he's gonna get, at least from that secondhand guy, any more than like $50 for it.
I have a theory and a question. Let me know what you think.
Okay.
Now, you know, like I mentioned, it was not surprising that he didn't blow up on her, not curse her out, but yell at her and I'll say all these things like he usually does because he was at fault, right? Now,
right.
In real life, though, Lucille Ball is pregnant, so she's in much more sensitive era. Do you think, now we have to pay attention to the rest of the episodes in this season because I could be totally wrong, but in the meantime, do you think that there is less, if not no, yelling at her or snapping at her because of the condition Lucille Ball's in? I mean, later on, sure, and before, but not during the season.
That's a really good point. I've never noticed.
Yeah,
but so I feel I'm like we've got to keep an eye on
pay
it.
Pay attention to
it. Because I can see that, you know, and even acting, like, he's still aggressively yelling. Like, even if it is acting, it's still aggressive yelling
at a pregnant lady,
mm-hmm. which, even if you're acting, can cause, you know, bring up that like stress and whatever. And you could be right. Like, they might just be like, listen, no yelling at a pregnant woman.
We're not going to do that. Yeah, we'll yell at her later, but not now. Because he does later. But before. But I just wondered. I haven't paid
really
attention.
Good.
We should keep an eye on that.
We'll keep an eye on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's the end of the episode. I almost said season. That's laughable.
No. No, ma'am. Episode 8.
Of like, what, 25 or something?
Well, I'm really looking forward to the 10th episode, you know, where we finally introduce her pregnancy and the history that's behind all of that in television is really, really fun. Wonderful. So that'll be fun to mention. But yeah, this is a fun one. And we have a fun interview coming up, hopefully in the next week, of the actual source of where we get a lot of this information, because it's really a gold mine, this website of Paper Moon. So we're looking forward to that. interview.
Yes, it'll be really great to talk to him finally.
I feel like I know him without knowing him.
Without knowing him.
Yeah. Yeah, so find us everywhere. Yes. Having a Ball Podcast on all these streaming services. Instagram, Having a Ball Pod, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. We have a interview up with the author Wendy Loggia that just went up a couple of days ago. So find that on YouTube. That's kind of fun. She wrote a Lucy book for kids. And yeah, we'll see you then next time.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.